Welcome back to the Cadet Conversations and Coffee Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Collison. This week on the podcast, I wanted to do something a little different. I invited Superintendent Mr. Newman, Tony Newman, on the podcast to talk a little bit about the March 2nd bond vote that will be happening in our community. I get a lot of questions from different community members about it, and I know a lot of the information, but I thought it'd be really important to bring Mr. Newman, the superintendent, on because he knows all the information about the bond and exactly what will be voted on March 2nd. It was a good conversation. He was really transparent. If you know Tony at all, you know he's pretty much an open book. But he wanted to provide information to all the community members before we get to this March 2nd vote. So I hope you enjoy the episode. And as always, if you like what we're doing here on the podcast, give us a like, subscription, or follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Enjoy this informational podcast that you're going to listen to right here. All right. Welcome back to the Cadet Conversations and Coffee Podcast. I'm here today with Superintendent Tony Newman. How are you doing today, Tony?
Good. Doing well. Cold awesome. Morning.
Awesome. So I'm having you on the podcast, and I've known you for a while now. Some people have heard this story, but my first teaching job ever actually was with you at Durant High School, and you were the principal. And it was kind of a weird way that I got to Durant, but you know, I was able to work for you for a year, work with you for a year, and then we both came to Iowa Falls together, where you became the principal at Iowa Falls Olive High School. Which has been great. How have you loved the, I know it's been a while now, but how have you loved this move to Iowa Falls and, you know, getting adjusted to this new community when you had been in Durant your whole life?
That was a big gamble. I remember taking a lot of time and thinking about that and how that all kind of played out. And, my wife still kind of jokes around. She still doesn't believe that we said yes to move in this way. But I tell you what, being here almost 5 years, it's probably felt like home since about day two here. It's just a great community, and it's just so similar to what we're used to growing up, at least me, with that small town feel. And we've been able to make good friends in the community, and everyone's just really embraced us from day one. So it's really become home quickly. And I didn't think that would happen, but yeah, it's been great.
Definitely. And you know, you talked about how you were from a small town. You know, you grew up in Durant and then worked in Durant for a number of years. And so now you've been able to come to this new community, and I know that your first few years here you were the principal, but now you've shifted to becoming the superintendent. So I'm sure that's quite the shift. Talk a little bit about that change.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I kind of joked around with some of the staff. You know, I went from the one who was just asking for everything to the one who now maybe has to say no, and that's not necessarily my MO. You know, we've worked together for 4 years as principal and teacher. Like, when people have ideas and they're great, we go for it and we try to find any way to do it. Now, when you got to think about the whole district and both districts and how it impacts everyone, it's not like I say no that much more, but it's just a big, big difference when you've got to look at everything. You know, before, just being an advocate for the district, but mostly the high school students and staff and thinking in that box. And I always tried to think district-wide. I think that part of that's my just where I grew up and working in a K-12 district, that's just what we did. So bringing that feel here, it's a change, but just the big thing of, you know, like snow days and weather cancellations, which I always hated making the calls an AD, and I hate making the calls a superintendent. Those are the things. And, you know, maybe a global pandemic thrown in the mix.
Yeah.
Make it a little more challenging, but we've got a good, really pretty great administrative team. We work through things together. So that helps as well.
Yeah, I know what you mean when you talk about the, you know, cancellation thing. My dad was a former AD, and he always liked when the administration took it out of his hands, because that is a tough decision and to make every day when you have that. But I think what you said about your shift going from, you know, you think about your building and you think you're certainly always thinking about the district, even as the high school principal. You know, you're thinking about the students who are going to finish
right.
their academic careers with you. You know, the shift from thinking about that building to then what's best for the whole district has probably been an adjustment that's kind of a new and fun way of thinking. Because I know you're a thinker, and when you see problems, you don't see them always as problems. You see as possible solutions that we can find. And so I bet that's been kind of a fun task as well, in a weird way.
Right. And really getting more involved with the elementary. I was fairly involved with the elementary in Durant. just because we were K-12, the elementary, the K principal and I shared office space. Like, we worked together a lot. We did all of our PDs together and kind of bringing that feel here, but it was a challenge with four different buildings and four different spaces. And it definitely felt more like some isolation things, but the administrative team has been great. But even like with Mr. Hutchinson coming on board, like he's now seeing some of the things at the elementary level. Last year when we were able to do those sweeps, like even getting elementary principals into the high school to see how it happens and vice versa, it just getting everyone to start thinking like, oh man, like we can make some really great things happen, but how do we do it systemically so it all of our kids can benefit?
Yeah, you know, we really are. We're not four or five buildings. We're one community, one district. And I think our staff has done a great job of trying to think that way. And that's a credit to your leadership. I know that's really been a message that you've been trying to hit home is we want this to be unified. We don't want to be separate, you know, have separate initiatives in each building. We want it to be something together that we're doing. And I think that goes true with the motto that you've come up with, that together we can, which is a pretty powerful idea.
Yeah, I think that we started kind of taking shape as when I was principal here. We did some of those things, you know, that first day of school when we took the high school kids down to Rock Run for their welcoming day, just little things to start and really talking to the board. They wanted to increase that whole community pride. We have, you know, board members that went to school here and they love it here. And how do we bring back, and I don't want to say like bring back like it was missing, but how do you, in this day and age with kids have so many other things they can be a part of, how do you build that school culture where kids want to be a cadet from like kindergarten on, and how do you give them that experience? So I do think really working together and understanding each other and knowing what's going on, it just breaks down all those walls of asking for mentors and asking for partnerships. I just think there's some unique opportunities lying ahead for us.
Yeah, as someone who went to school here all through, you know, K-12 and moved back to Iowa Falls to try to capture that, that makes me smile right now. We're wearing masks right now doing this, but I'm smiling right now because that's important, you know, to me, not only as a teacher in the district, but as a community member, you know, and as someone whose kids are going to go to school here. So, I wanted you to come on the podcast to talk a little bit about something that's going to be coming up on March 2nd in our community. Our community is going to be voting on a bond to build a new elementary school and also some other additions and renovations and things like that. And so I wanted to bring you on the podcast just to talk information about what's going to be happening on March 2nd, you know, what we're going to be voting on, and then just some follow-up questions about it, because I do think it's important that we inform the public. You know, I've got friends who they ask me, you know, hey, what's going to be replaced, what's going to be fixed, and sometimes I have some of the answers, but I don't have them all. So the first question I'll ask you is, what exactly will our community be voting on March 2nd?
So on March 2nd, when the community goes to the ballots, there's two questions that'll be asked. The first question is going to ask, hey, will you approve the district to build a new elementary/high school expansion for the total not to exceed $28,560,000? So that question would allow us to move forward with a project that for that price tag. Well, because this is a larger project and the way the Iowa code works, the tax increase will be over $2.70. So if that's going to happen in a bond, the second question then has to be asked, do you give permission for the school to raise the tax rate up to $4.05? And our projections right now is we're only looking at a $3.43 increase. I say only, like air quotes. I know that's a big ask. But in 5 years, the district's been able to drop the tax rate $3.06. So really, we're asking for 37 more cents than what we paid 5 years ago to build a, you can call it state of the art, but really to move a new preschool through fifth grade elementary and then expand some of our offerings at the high school.
Wow. And so you had mentioned that 5 years ago that the tax rate would have been a certain amount.
Right.
Is that because the, you know, just the state of taxes in our country, or is it something that the district tried to plan for? Or?
The district just made a conscious effort. When you look at, there's just tons of different categories that make up our tax rate. If you have some growing enrollment and you don't have to go on budget guarantee because you're losing enrollment, that lowers your tax rate.
Sure.
We have other funds like the management fund, which we use for our property liability insurance and some other incentives. Well, that coffer had being pretty full. So we didn't need to add money to that pot. And there's just some other things that kind of come in and out. The debt service from previous projects hasn't been there in multiple years, and that helps. So when we go to vote on this, this is where that money would go. It'd go into debt service. So we're just able to adjust some funds here and there that we're able to lower the community's tax rate by over $3 in 5 years, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, now if we're looking at this, the only way to fund a project of this scope would unfortunately be to raise that tax back up.
Sure. So it sounds like the district, because of some wise decision making, was actually able to save the taxpayers some money. And now it might be asking for the taxpayers to pay a little bit more, but for a benefit, maybe to the district.
Right. And then as our property valuations go up, if you're the Time Citizen recently, the valuations actually went down last year. But as our property valuations continue to increase, like, the tax rate will drop again, because we don't need to tax the same dollar amount to raise the same per $1,000 amount to raise a certain total package amount.
Sure.
That's one of those things, that $28 million project. Well, some people are like, well, how come it raises our taxes this much? Like talking in Clear Lake, their valuations are three times ours.
Yeah.
So if they would have asked for the 405 bond in Clear Lake, that would have been a $120 million project. Well, we don't have that kind of property valuation. Ours is about 450. So this is the money we could raise. But as those valuations go up, is if you get new businesses in town, then the tax rate will fall, because we won't need to levy as much money per thousand to get that same total.
Definitely. Yeah. And, you know, speaking as someone, you know, who's, you know, I wouldn't say I'm young, but younger, with, you know, a young family, that's something that, you know, I have friends who grew up in Iowa Falls that did not move back. And that's something they talk about, is, you know, businesses in places like Ankeny and West Des Moines or whatever. And I don't know if we'll ever be able to compete with those, but certainly building new schools would attract people.
Yeah, and that's part of the help. And really with the pandemic, I think people are really finding, like, working in an office in a metro area may not be the new norm.
No, I would agree.
I think you probably have some friends that haven't gone to the office in about a year, and who knows if they'll ever go back.
Yeah, I think companies are starting to realize that they prefer this because they can save money on, you know, office space, and they can, you know, ask their employees to work from home. And sometimes people are even more productive there, which is strange.
But well, and awesome. You can think about it. You could get a wider net depending on the company. You now really have a bunch of remote offices and little communities that kind of spread your influence. So there's a lot of opportunities, I think.
Absolutely. So let me ask you, you know, I know when the decision was made for this specific project, there were some other things that were discussed. How did we get to this specific project design and this specific vote, as opposed to other options?
So about a year and a half ago, when I started the transition, I put a survey out to the students, staff, community, and parents, like, asked a bunch of questions, which I don't know if people remember it or not, but it was like, hey, rate the academics, rate the fine arts, where do you think we're lacking? And part of that was the facilities. So there was a lot of common themes that came up through our elementaries of concerns with this, the space, the classroom sizes, and some of the playground issues at Rock Run. All those totally fixable in a normal budget. We're also going through a possible band room renovation, music room renovation. And through that process, we kind of found out that the $2 million price tag wasn't going to give us any more classroom space. So we looked at adding out west to the building for $3 million, which would have given us the space we needed. Well, in talking to other groups, there was a lot of other projects kind of people have been talking about here for years.
Decades,
yeah. And then winter hit, and we started having even more issues with our heating systems at the two elementaries. So we were able to fix those, but if people know, they've been in the buildings, it's really some uneven heat. Sometimes it's 55 degrees in there, and the next day with the heat on, it's like 80.
Yeah, my room, I have a student teacher right now, and every day she wears her coat because my heater works for about 10 minutes, and then it's done for a while.
So, I mean, it's just things that we could fix individually, but looking at all that, and then I didn't know what we didn't know. So we brought in a facility assessment committee. We interviewed three groups. We settled with DeNovo and KCL Engineering. So they came and actually toured our buildings that December and January of a year ago.
Yeah.
And looked at everything, the mechanical, the plumbing, the electrical, the space, the air quality, the carpet, the windows, everything. And then they provided us a report that first week of March last year.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that Friday was our last day of school for 50 days. So that kind of delayed our next phase, which was forming this facility committee. So we met in May, and then throughout the summer and throughout the fall. And then they gave kind of, we worked through all of the results of the facility assessment, kind of shared their input from what they've seen. And this was a group of former board members, parents and community members who didn't have kids in the district just want to be involved. Anyone who signed up and wanted to be a part of it, we let them come in.
So you got so many different, I want to use the word here, like demographics. Like it wasn't just people with kids,
right,
or just teachers. It right. was a lot of different types of people.
Correct.
In the community.
Yeah. We tried to get a good cross section. That's what we were hoping for. And then we just talked through and I tried to let them like lead it where it was going to go naturally. What do you guys think? What's going to happen? And then I would share some ideas as needed, but I really wanted to hear what they wanted. And what happens, we ended up splitting into two groups. There was a pretty unanimous decision, as the committee didn't think it was worth sinking a lot of money into Pineview. There's not an adequate gym or cafeteria for the students there. The classrooms are a little bit bigger than Rock Run, but pretty small with the drop ceilings, and just there's a lot of needs there. And being the oldest building, they didn't think it was worth putting that kind of investment in. So the group split into two options, which was to build a completely new elementary building, or to build an addition at Rock Run that would also renovate part of Rock Run. So the addition wouldn't be just for like the preschool through first grade students. Some of the students that would be displaced in a renovation, we'd have to add on. So both of those decisions went to the board, because that was the whole goal of the committee, was give us a couple of recommendations. Because one of the options, we started with, hey, we're just going to fix the HVAC in two buildings or four buildings, all the way up through the last option, which was build a completely new K-12
sure.
building, which people are like, what do you mean K-12? Well, I wanted to show them both ends of the extreme.
Yep.
A new K-12 building is considerably out of our price range kind of thing, but we talked about everything. So then the board decided that they thought the best way to move forward was a new elementary. It did not involve preschool, because we thought from other things we had 4 or 5 years ago, the price tag would be too high. Well, looking at the pandemic and then when the interest rates fell so low, like that's one of the things people say, well, why now for the timing? Well, the interest rates dropping give us $5 million more in capacity. So we could actually add the preschool for a lower cost than originally projected.
And if you've been following anything in our community, you know that preschool has changed significantly.
Correct.
Over the last 5 to 10 years. I know when I went to preschool in Hope Falls, there were 3 or 4 options, and there aren't as many.
Well, when we moved here, it was Libby was just going into preschool, and I remember it was April, and Ryan Robinson at the time said, well, our preschool's full, we only take 20. So we went to Christian Educare, and I think that was one of the only 3 in town, and they had a spot.
Yeah.
And then they ended up closing after that year. Libby's actually the last group to go through there.
Yeah.
So then the school board kind of made the decision, okay, anyone who wants to be able to take preschool in Iowa Falls can.
We need to educate these kids.
Right. Yeah. So that expanded that program. That moved second grade from Pineview to Rock Run, and kind of started one of this process down the road of
sure.
space is an issue.
Yeah. So. Well, hearing you talk about, some of the reasons why this decision was made as opposed to the many other options that were presented to the board and to the facilities committee to think about, it sounds like some of the reasons that this decision was made, or one of the big reasons this decision was made, was the timing of it, and the interest rates. And as someone who just bought a new house, I know for me personally, we wouldn't have been able to buy that new house if the rates weren't what they are. And, it is kind of that, this is the moment, it's a great time. This decision gets put off for another 20 years, the rates won't be what they are. Is that part of the decision as well?
Part of the decision of looking at the timing and the aging of our buildings. We know that if this doesn't pass, we have more tries at it. But eventually, if we had just made a plan to fix the HVAC system in our elementaries and in the high school, we were still talking a significant $16 to $20 million price tag.
Yeah.
But then you, in 20 years, when you have to look at replacing those buildings, we'll now have 2 buildings that are over 100 years and 2 buildings that are almost 80 years and just not designed for what learning will look like. I've been in education. This is my 20th year. And thinking back how I taught my first year versus how we teach now, like in just 20 years, the advancements in the way we think about educating kids is so very different.
It is.
But then if you went back 80 years and what those rooms were designed for, you think Rock Run too, that was designed as a high school.
Yeah.
So they've done a great job renovating it and making it work, but those classrooms just don't meet our needs space-wise. And that's the other big push we looked at this. We have 5 or 6 classrooms at the elementary level that are 550 square feet.
Yeah.
This new building's going to have them all to 1,000. So we're going to have a good chunk of our teachers have double the space to be able to work with our kids.
And what a benefit. And and the way that education is changing, you know, there's some pretty universal messages. Collaboration, good. You know, learning through unique models, learning by doing, good. Well, you mentioned Rock Run being in a former high school that was built in a time where it was still sit in your desk, face forward, take the test. You know, it's a multiple choice test. There's just so much research out there that proves that that's not the best way for learning. It's not as conducive. And so I can see what you're saying with a small space. There's less collaborative space at an elementary. That would be a great thing to fix in a new building.
Right. I don't know about you, but I went to school, you know, it was the 80s for elementary, and everything was rows.
Yeah.
We had the flip top desk. We didn't have the manipulatives. We didn't have all the things we try to get kids hands on. And every once in a while, there's probably a project, but it's probably like a shoebox diorama you made at home.
Yeah.
It's just not when you see all the opportunities we have with all of the technology and we're trying to get more involved with some of that project lead the way in engineering and STEM stuff. It just needs space.
And you talk about the STEM stuff. One of my favorite, I would say it's a top 10 list. And I've seen it. You've shown it to us. I've seen it in my grad school course at UNI. It's the 10 skills that are required for future jobs now compared to, you know, even 10 years ago. And they're almost all relating to like STEM, technology, whatever. And you bring up technology. Our building is the newest building, the high school where I teach. I have two outlets in my room, you know, and it's like, just think about what a new elementary school could bring in terms of opportunities for that.
Correct. And that's one of the things we looked at. You know, you've got, when it's hot, someone plugs in the fan and you want to have something else running. It's almost like an old house where one's got to go off for the other to go on kind of thing. And when we have iPads for our youngest kids and Chromebooks, and those take energy and to charge. It's not like we use them all the time, but when you want to be able to use them, you'd like to be able to have the space, the ability to get them charged and just even set up. And some even the robotics things that we have coming, just space to work on those opportunities and not have to, you know, spend as a teacher 20 minutes to set it up and okay, we don't have the space to leave it set up. So now we got to tear it down and just all the instructional time lost without not having that space.
So I think we've kind of jumped into my next question, which is, you know, what are some of the specific benefits? Obviously we've talked about just the infrastructure of the new building would be a benefit to learning and instruction. But what are some other benefits you see? Because I know that this bond isn't just about the elementary. There's a lot of other projects as well.
Part of this is the high school expansion. So the new band room, which we had been now talking about for almost 3 years, this would create a huge space for them to rehearse. But the big thing is storage. If you've been down that back hallway, you know, we don't have a place to put our uniforms. We have some instruments out there. So just getting that into a nice, secure location to give them an opportunity to have the space they need to rehearse and then appropriate storage.
For people who don't know, it's the ag and industrial technology wing, but it's also the hallway is supposed to be for efficient travel, especially during a coronavirus pandemic.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's where we stock a lot of our band equipment because I'm sure this is a secret to no one, but our band program is pretty rocking right now.
Right.
I mean, there's just tremendous numbers and involvement. I think that's a credit to our band instructors, Jeff Schmidt and Ross Schumacher. Those guys are phenomenal.
Yep.
You know, I think that program doesn't see any signs of slowing down. So, you know, it would be great to just get them a space where they could keep their equipment.
Correct. And then even when you think about that, well, then the old band room will become the choir room, which if you've been in our choir room, like as that program starts to grow again,
Waring, new vocal instructor, he does a great job.
They're just going to need space.
Yeah.
And then with that, our shop. So you look at one of the things we really are trying to do here is get kids real world and career experience and give them some exposure to some needs. Well, yes, we have three shop areas, but they're pretty full.
Yeah.
So if we can give kids more opportunity, more space to work and complete some projects, it's just going to help them and in our community grow.
Yeah.
So the other space that was added to this was an art room. And that was never part of any of the original plans. But kind of how the drawing fell out, there was almost a gap in the building. Like, well, what are we going to do? Like, it wasn't a lot of cost to add the space. We just had a hole there. So kind of being in the building and looking around, two concerns I have is our art room up here, it would need a renovation, but it's a decent sized space. But the two math rooms, for Mr. Romer and Mr. Mulford are tiny.
And math is every year, year in, year out, one of the high, I mean, there's so many kids.
Correct. So like you go in there with 28 kids sitting in one of the smallest rooms we have. Now, I know you could probably try to rearrange, but right now we kind of have our departments grouped in wings.
Yeah.
It's nice for them to be able to collaborate. So kind of an offshoot I thought of is we make this nice art space. It'll be collaborative and you look at new the art trends and it's a fine arts wing and they would maybe have access to a shop for a different type of art project.
Together.
Correct.
Oh my gosh, that'd be cool.
And then you can have two math rooms that are appropriately sized as well.
Yeah, you know, you bring that up. We were able to play West Des Moines Valley this year and their AD took us on a tour of their building and we actually spent a lot of time in the fine arts wing. And there's a shop that was devoted to fine arts and they actually made all their own sets. I just think of the collaboration that could be done between Mr. Seidel and Mrs. Starkweather on, you know, hey, this student's working on this project. Can you help them, you know, can you help them cut this piece of wood or you get the dimensions right? So then you have teachers collaborating, you have students collaborating, and then maybe Mr. Waring uses that that space as well to build some set design pieces for the musical. There's just a lot of collaboration opportunities.
Correct.
That could be done through this project.
And we just spent a significant amount of money on a metal CNC table for our industrial arts and our ag program. So it's a 4x8 foot sheet of metal that they can cut stuff out of. Well, Mr. Seidel's had ideas for, we have outside the student center, it's so hot.
Yeah.
They try to keep plants there with the new plant area he made my first year here.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's thought the idea of some metal sculptures. Well, we've had some middle school kids design metal sculptures that are, you know, down on Linear Park.
Yeah.
And I kind of, in interviewing for art teacher, we went to UNI and I got a tour of their campus and saw they have a dedicated art shop as well, where they do a lot of welding. So you think of this metal piece and metal designs that art kids could design. And then we could go over and collaborate and have the teachers help them cut it out of the metal. And then we can put it out there. I mean, to me, that's, be pretty proud if you're an art kid. So I mean, a lot of kids in art, and it's, I know it's different now, but like you made something, you take it home, you hang it on your fridge, or it's great on an art show. But we've had some kids make some good paintings here as well. But when you talk about
making quality in my room, I mean, that mural is phenomenal.
Correct. So there's a mural in your room that kid will know for whenever they come back.
Yes.
But if you have some kids design some metalwork that's out front, like that'll be there for a long time. And even think about bringing your kids back. Hey, I made that. I designed that.
And people who come to our school for events, they're gonna be seeing that and say, wow, this is cool. And then who made that? Oh, our students.
You're right. Total student enterprise.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you talked about a band room. A new band room,
right? A new art room, a new shop. And then the other thing that would be high school kind of only would be a locker room area. And people would be like, well, why is that locker room area there? Well, if you've ever been to our visiting locker room, it's
the,
not
the visiting coaches in the conference
would all
know about it.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's down a long set of steps. It doesn't smell real well down there just because of how it's located. And it's just not accessible. Well, this new addition would even remove that outside access.
Yeah.
So for the price that we were looking at, be able to add that locker room space, we thought that just is something that's needed. And depending on how we reutilize things, it's just a needed space for everything else.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So we talked about collaboration between some different departments at the high school because of this space, but it seems to me there's other collaboration opportunities that could be available as well.
So that's one of the things we're excited about. I know there's a lot of concern from people in the community of putting elementary kids with high school kids. There was a large concern moving second grade up with even fifth grade. When you look at how the building's designed, where the academic wing of the high school sits versus where the classrooms of the elementary will sit, well, they're going to have to walk through like their library area, the new elementary cafeteria, the new elementary gym. Then there'd be the band room there. Well, that's going to be just a few high school kids. And they've got to walk down that fine arts hallway past the high school gym, past the student center. That's when the mingling would happen.
Sure.
And it's probably going to be quarter to half mile. I mean, it's not going to happen. It's going to be one campus that looks very much and feels like two separate buildings. However, the collaboration piece, we've had an increase in the request of student mentors. Like, how do we have our high school kids come down and mentor and work with some of our elementary kids? And it was always a challenge here. Obviously, we put a hold on that this year with the pandemic. But when we had an 8-period day and you had to drive across town to get there, like at 20 minutes at most, if we could get into a kid's schedule. And that, I think, was one of the huge benefits in Durant with the K-12 building. We always had kids go down, like, hey, let's go down. Who's going to be our classroom readers? Let's go read to kids. Hey, who's going to be a go mentor with kid? Who's going to go partner? And we had almost some TA experiences. We had a gym teacher who we had coached together, and he always had high school kids who wanted to be teachers. They'd come down during their study hall time and help run a PE class and just give those kids those opportunities. And yeah, typically they were athletes, but so that's when you have your littlest kids. So if you kind of think about right now, if you had some of our high school athletes walk down into an elementary PE class, like yeah. It helps bring that community spirit and cadet pride back in as well. Cause I'm sure, I mean, obviously you have a famous brother who went through here. There yeah. was probably plenty of little elementary kids who were pretending to be a Collison when they're in Definitely. Their front yard. So,
and I think what people sometimes don't understand is, yeah, they were wanting to be Nick Collison, but they want to be any
Correct.
Kid.
I mean, any older kid.
It doesn't matter who you are. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up the Durant building, because in my time teaching there, I can honestly say, and I can say with confidence, that I felt like we were two separate buildings when we wanted to be, you know, right. And it was, I mean, it was, you could walk there. You didn't have to go outside to get to the elementary at all, or to any other part of the building, to the middle school wing. I felt like we were always separate unless we wanted to be together. And then it was so easy to be right. together, to get those students. I can remember having college writing students go work with middle school students on their papers. And like, you talk about real learning and real experience, you know, it's having those kids teach some other kids. I agree with you there. I think there's some opportunities for collaboration between our students that it is always a benefit. It's always a positive, you know, to see those interactions.
And we have teachers requesting more and more high school kids to come work with them. And
they don't have to drive.
Right.
You know, let's kids safer. On the road.
Correct.
Oh, man.
And even you think J-term, like when we get that back and running, one of our biggest growing classes was that education class.
Yes.
Future teachers, like. Well, that doesn't just have to be now a 4 or 8 day time in January. We can build that into kids' schedule. They can kind of go just interact.
It can be called internship.
Correct.
I mean, man, you could just the real life experience that our kids could get. And then, you know, one of my favorite things is when you get to see kids who maybe school hasn't been great for them. And then they're in high school now, and they don't have a great feeling of school, but then they get to work with young kids and they realize that this is powerful. You know, this is a good thing. And then it just totally changes their attitude to school. That's a positive.
Or there's now you can think about, there's more adults in one building that they probably had a chance to connect with.
Absolutely.
All the kids always have some of their favorite elementary teachers. Yeah. Like, we can now use that and build connections with our kids as well. Like, to see them in the hall. I mean, I'm not like it's going to be often, but if a kid goes down the elementary to help out and just to be able to stop and talk to that teacher,
yeah,
would be a big deal too.
Okay. So, kind of the last thing I want to talk about with the possible bond and what's being built is, what will that elementary look like? I know we've said, oh, it's new state-of-the-art elementary. What will be some of the features of it that are like, you know, this is exactly what it's going to have that is state-of-the-art.
So one of the things we're really excited about, besides obviously the size, all the classrooms will be 1,000 square feet, is they're in pods. So if you come down to kind of our preschool wing now, where those four classrooms are centered, we're looking at a pod for every grade level, and then a common space for grade levels to use as well. So it's almost like an extra classroom where kids can go and work collaboratively. If we have mentors come in from the community or high school mentors, they can go there, or just if they need to team up and split their kids up and do some different activities, it's just space to be able to do that collaborative learning.
Yeah.
If you go through elementaries now, unfortunately, like, oh, you have to find a table in the hallway to work with. You know, it's just kind of where you can find
and
space.
And that's distracting. You know,
it
for
is.
A student who struggles, you know, you now have to be in the hallway to collaborate, and there's things going on and people walking through it. That's tough.
Right. And with some of the other things we're trying to do, we're looking at maybe doing some competitions with Alden and creative engineering projects,
yeah.
like, to be able to go test it out in that room, and they can be a little bit louder and not maybe distract the rest of the class that's trying to work. We're excited about that. There's a lot of resource and flexible learning spaces built in. One of the things we looked at with the elementary before the pandemic was looking at this Flex Wednesday idea
yeah.
that we had at the high school, but how can we incorporate that at the elementary? So one of our kickoffs was that day of play we're doing again.
Yeah.
So how can we do things like that? So more space like that would be, just a huge benefit for learning.
And if you talk to lots of educators around the state who are in these new buildings with this idea of wings, like, you know, this is the third grade wing, and that's always been something that's been in education, but to really devote like a collaborative space between that where students can get outside of their classroom and work with other students, If you talk to educators around the state, they will all tell you that is a huge benefit. You know, and it gets students to learn from other teachers, you know, that maybe just the teacher that they're assigned. And that's a cool thing.
I think about my own teaching experience. I was the seventh and eighth grade math teacher. That's just how Durant was. And the fifth and sixth grade math teacher was at the other end of the hall. Mm-hmm. So we didn't collaborate a lot.
Sure.
The guy across the hall, my social studies teacher, he was my junior high football coach, like one of the most teachers I respected. Like, we grow even closer, even through coaching together, but working across the hall together.
Yeah.
Well, when I moved to the high school, we had two math teachers, which is kind of nice. And our rooms are straight across. So we would collaborate like informally in the hallway seven times a day between classes. So right now, some of our teachers have that opportunity at the elementary, but not all. Yeah. So when you think of the pods, if they're just outside their door, that it's just, sometimes you just need 5 minutes with your group to talk, and it's really easy to do now.
Yeah, it's almost like impromptu professional development.
Correct.
And creating better teachers without having to use district resources or district time. It's just built in.
Yep. And then some of the other spaces we're excited about, you know, the new library, but not just like a traditional library of what can we put in there for some makerspace ideas, for a STEM lab, for some robotics.
Cool.
And then obviously a new elementary art room, a new elementary music room, the band will be shared, and then the gym. That's one of the things when you talk about Pineview and you look in, they have that gymateria approach where it's a little bit too small for a cafeteria. It's way too small for a gym, and that's where they go.
Yeah.
So the idea.
As someone who went to Pineview, it felt big when I was there, but now having walked into it, I can just imagine that would be a challenging space, not only for, you know, lunch and, you know, gym space, but as a classroom space for Mr. Winter with the PE.
And even if you have indoor recess, like right now, indoor recess happens in the classroom.
Yeah.
So one of the benefits we talked about why we would do it on this space is, well, we'd have two gyms available. So during the school day, yes, Mr. Winters would have elementary gym in that gym, but we do have the high school gym very close as well, and a weight room where we can kind of maybe displace some high school kids, and now elementary have a safe indoor space. They can have indoor recess, which isn't just at their desk. For elementary kids, that's a big deal. So like a cold week like this, I mean, our teachers do great of doing indoor recess in their classrooms, but it's not the same as going to the gym and be able to run off some of that energy.
And recess is, I don't care what anyone says in education, recess is important.
Correct.
And it's just the benefit, like there is scientific research proving the benefits of recess.
Correct.
And so, yeah, and you know, I think, you know, additional gym space is something that's always going to be welcome in our community. I don't think people realize how much those facilities get used, but just another place, not only that will benefit the elementary students as a classroom, but also our other activities as well. What a positive.
And that was one of the ideal places with this location up here.
Yeah.
There had been some push for an auxiliary gym or something built. Well, if you were to build an auxiliary gym at the high school, and if we were to build a new elementary at Rock Run, you're still going to need a gym.
Yep.
So we looked at one gym here that during the day, it's 100% dedicated to elementary.
Yeah.
We're putting it a little bit bigger for some bleachers, and it's not going to be like our current competition gym at the high school. It'll be a much smaller set of bleachers that will now double as an auxiliary gym at night. So, you know, you think of, it'll obviously probably benefit basketball the most as far as parents of, some parents have to go to Rock Run if you're a JV or freshman boys parent, then you have to get up here for the, like now it's one location.
Yeah.
So management's easier for Mr. Norm and getting people together, and even scheduling, we're hoping to, you know, we can maybe get away from some of these late night practices where we now have gym space on site that can host enough teams that we don't have to always run so late.
And speaking as someone who schedules for high school basketball, boys basketball, high school girls basketball, and CBC, I can tell you that gym space is more limited than you think in terms of, you know, being handcuffed by time. And there's not many things worse than telling a group they can't practice or can't compete because we just didn't have the facility space.
Well, and then you look at the benefit to other sports. At least when you talk volleyball, we can now host some tournaments with two gyms. That happens a lot of places. The spring seasons with track, usually they're running the hallways. Well, now they'll have a space they can go work, or if it's raining, we can get more spring teams in here. Like I said, it obviously will have benefits to the high school after school, but the huge benefit to the elementary during the school will be, obviously, our youngest kids will have an appropriate size gym. I mean, the Rock Run gym is perfect for the Rock Run kids.
Yeah.
But now thinking they have indoor spaces they can utilize as well.
Yeah.
During like indoor recess, cold and rainy days.
Absolutely. It'd be great for our awesome elementary PE teacher, Mr. Winters, to be in one place too.
Correct.
I know he will appreciate
it. And that's part of the thing too with one location. location in one elementary. You know, we have an art teacher that travels, a music teacher that travels, and a PE teacher that travels. That's just lost instructional time.
Yeah.
So being able to do some things and collaborate there is going to be a huge benefit.
Definitely. I think we already talked about this a little bit, but just as a reminder, if the bond is passed, how will it financially impact taxpayers in the district? So just go over that again. If it is passed, what will happen to those taxpayers?
So what we're looking at here is that March 2nd vote. Again, it's that two ballot question. So the first question will talk about the total price tag, $28.5 million. The second back question that would also have to be yes for this to pass is, can we raise your taxes up to 405? Our current projections right now, it's not going to go 405. It'll be like a $3.43 increase. The first number we threw out there was 382. So that's the cost it's going to take us to get to 28 million. But we talked about the multiple layers of the taxes. We're able to lower some other things to bring it down to $3.43. So what our taxpayers would see is a $3.43 increase per thousand. But the catch with all of this is it's not straight on what you think you paid for your house or your value. It's your assessed value. And then there's some other things in there. So there's a whole idea of a rollback. So if you have a $100,000 assessed house, the first thing that happens is 55% of that tax is rolled back. So you're only paying taxes on $55,000 of your $100,000 house.
Okay.
So with the homestead credit of almost $5,000, you're only paying taxes on $50,000 of your $100,000 assessed house. So what we're really looking at, if you have a house assessed value of $100,000, it'll be a tax increase of $172 a year.
Yeah, and this is great information, because I tell you what, in my household, my wife, Kristen, is usually the one who knows all this stuff. So if I can understand it, anybody can.
And that's where it goes up proportional. So if you have a $200,000 assessed value house, your tax increase would be $344 a year, which we know is a big ask. But when you try to break it down per month, I mean, you're talking less than $30 a month would be able to give a great opportunity for our elementary students just to have a new building and a new space.
And invest in the community.
Correct.
Because I think a lot of people could agree that, you know, when taxes go up, it's not everyone's favorite thing. But,
correct.
What the taxes are going towards of purpose,
right.
You know, and that's what the purpose is.
And when you think of some of it's a lot of numbers, but a $200,000 assessed house is less than a dollar a day, because, mm-hmm. you know, $343 increase is less than a dollar a day increase. So if you have a $100,000 assessed house, we're asking for about 50 cents a day.
Yeah.
To give our kids really an opportunity to experience something that our elementary, it would be pretty big change for them to see 1,000 square foot classrooms, collaborative learning spaces, a huge cafeteria for them for lunch, a gym, the opportunity for high school kids to collaborate in just new playgrounds, new everything.
Something that will not just impact the current elementary students, but generations of students.
Correct.
And then the other question I have for you about if the bond is passed, is what will happen to the other buildings? What will happen to Rock Run, and what will happen to Pineview if we build this new elementary building here up in the high school campus and create this big collaborative space? What will happen to those other two buildings?
So that's been one of our biggest questions that, to be honest, it's really hard to get a definite answer on. And the reason it's hard to get a definite answer on is people aren't interested in a maybe for an investment in a project.
Yep.
If this bond were to pass, we could get people lined up. Oh, that property is going to be available. Here's the idea. So
yeah, we don't really know what will happen unless it passes,
right.
Because we don't know what the option.
Correct.
Are. Yeah.
You're not going to line someone to take over a property if we end up keeping the property.
Sure.
I have been working with a couple different groups. One of the groups is the city. So working with the city, looking at the Pineview location, kind of some of the things we have out there for we think would be good ideas. One would just be a residential development.
Yeah.
So you kind of look around the city, there's not a lot of open lots available in city limits that already have all the utilities right there.
Yeah.
That location would be pretty good central location. So depending on what happens, for sure we would probably, and this will be on the school, to demolish part of that building. Mm-hmm. So one of the options we're talking about is maybe our central district office moves over there. We keep that preschool wing in the library, but everything else would be demolished. So those additions where kind of the first grade and kindergarten rooms are now in that gym cafeteria, we would demolish that part of the building, keep the front half, and then work with the city for just residential developments all behind there.
Yep.
They thought they might keep the playground castle for a while because that'd be a nice little park for kids, or if a developer wants to put in, you could get upwards of a dozen house lots there.
Sure.
The other option would be to totally demolish the whole thing and have someone develop it. And then you're talking maybe 16 house lots in the middle of town.
Yeah.
And then Rock Run is kind of the bigger unknown. Obviously that gym is fairly recently redone, and if we've been talking about a need for gym space as part of the reasoning for one location, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to tear one down, especially if it's new.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at there is demolition of at least the Blanche Stoddard wing, which is where our second grade is housed now. And depending on where we do a central office, we could keep just the gym and some surrounding areas. And now there's a lot of green space around there. So one of the ideas I really kind of like that was suggested actually by Dr. Robbins was, well, you have that big football field where Ellsworth practice, that could easily be a soccer field for some of our youth teams.
Which soccer has become an incredibly popular
growing sport. And we have balls. It's great down there at Georgetown Road with that rugby complex. But, you know, if you got some, like when my parents come to watch games, they hop over the telephone poles and walk. It's not necessarily conducive for all of our visitors.
Sure.
But if we could put even a couple t-ball or blast ball fields up there, or then even mini soccer fields, there's a lot of green space around Rock Run.
Yeah.
And you have that nice bike path that goes through there now. So really, if you think about what's that do for our youth, you think about our youth program in town, our Parks and Rec, they now have a gym. They now have outside facilities. It's all in one location. You would have accessible parking lot, lots of parking for people to sit there and the trail to go through. So we really like that idea, and the city does too, of maybe making it more of an athletic complex that you see in some other communities. And then the other option we're looking there too is Ellsworth.
Yeah,
you know, they're pretty landlocked in the middle of town. That could be a property that intrigues them as well. But until it's open, they're obviously not going to be able to say, "Oh, yeah, we want that."
So the long answer is all those things.
Correct.
The short answer is until the bond is passed or not passed.
Correct.
There's the options can't be pursued until we know. And then it can become a conversation about, you know, what's best and how do we. How do we get the most out of these spaces, and what can be done?
The biggest concern we hear is people think we're just going to let the buildings rot. And that's happened in communities. And that is not our intention as a board. And I know that'll never be my intention as a superintendent. There's going to be a cost to knock down the buildings. Was that included in this bond? No, it was not. And part of that reason is just because we need to figure out what we need to use those buildings for. And we're trying to keep the tax rate as low as possible. Adding more money to this project increases the tax rate even more.
Yep.
There's actually a new state bill out there that it's talking about, well, every school might throw a little bit of their safe funds into a big pot, and then districts can apply to that pot to help tear down buildings. So if that passes, there's actually an opportunity. It'll cost us very little to tear down some buildings.
Oh, wow.
So that's a huge deal too.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast. This is a little different than what I normally do with my guests, but I also think too, it's important to inform the community, about what's being voted on. And, you know, obviously there are a lot of things to talk about in terms of why it's a benefit, but it is important to talk about what's actually going to happen. Because I think one thing that you've done a great job of and the board and the facilities committee is no one's trying to hide anything. This is what we're trying to do, and this is why. And it's for the future of our children, the future of our community. It just happens to be at a time that's really good for a decision like this.
Right.
And whether it passes or not, we won't know until March 2nd. But
yep.
I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. Any final thoughts on the March 2nd vote that you want to get out there to the community?
Just other informational pieces out there. Absentee ballots are available. That deadline, I think, is February 19th. So that's closely approaching, depending on when this airs. And just the idea of if there's any questions, we have that Google site out there, but please don't hesitate to email or call me. And I've been trying to respond to questions about as fast as they come in.
Yeah.
Just because I think we've done a good job of providing a lot of information, but we don't know what people want to know until they tell us. So we've had four or five people submit questions and lots of multiple questions, and just even some of them are just good ideas. So anything we can help share, like I'm pretty transparent, you know, from working with me for 5-6 years
you
now.
You welcome
like,
the questions.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think that's great. So
awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Tony.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Cadet Conversations and Coffee Podcast. I want to give a special shout out to junior Isabel Nicozel, who created our awesome logo for the podcast, and freshman Val Hensley, who created all of our original music for the podcast. If you like what you hear, Give us a like, follow, or subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. See you next time.